あと、部屋は明るくして、テレビから3メートルは離れて見上がってください。
We were just born to love all of you, and you were born to love us. This is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 30, the big 3-0.
Oh my god, my biology clock is ticking!
That's right. I don't understand why nobody has married us and shown us any love. Because after all, you were supposed to be born to love us. I'm your host, Michael Huang.
And this is Raymond Hill from Taipei, and everyone in Taiwan is receiving food stamps. Even the embezzling president, I believe.
This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach with absolutely nothing that can top that.
That's right. Because of the ailing economy, you're talking about the stimulus checks, right?
Yeah. The official name for that. Mm. Translation, my money!
Exactly.
My precious money!
Your hard-earned tax dollars at work, apparently.
Yeah.
But in either case, this is a brand new year, 2009, for all of us here at Anime Diet, Anime Diet Radio, and we just want to be able to share our love of anime and our love with you so that you can love us back and hug us with all of your comments and all of your readership and listening-ship.
From San Francisco? I'm not thinking about Tony, whatever his name is.
Yeah, there's a lot of positive energy emanating from Mike right now to all his friends out there on the internet.
That's right.
You know, I think he dressed up as Nekishi. That's what happened. I think he dressed up as Nekishi on the streets of San Francisco.
Because I'm all about love and peace, after all. And I'm just wondering why nobody's, like, giving me money and all those other guys dressed up in makeup and paint are, like, kicking my butt right now. But, I mean... they're talking all about rape and they're talking all about destruction and, you know, I just don't know what goes into those guys. Yeah, see, something like that. You know, how can they be so mean? Everybody should just get along.
Yeah, whatever, Capulet Pigs.
In either case, we do have a brand new layout, kind of, for you. And this effort to kick in and ring in the new year, you've probably seen there's been a difference in music and difference in all kinds of wonderful things for this show. Because after all, you know, it is time for a new start. And so we're going to go ahead, actually, first, not with our usual news items, which are coming later, wacky news items for your listening pleasure. But we do want to actually share some of the evidence of the love you've been giving us with... for the first time in months, a mailbag section.
Which you can use to pleasure yourself.
Yes. That
was not funny.
Well, it certainly gives me pleasure to be introducing all of you on the air.
What? Sticky pleasure?
Virtual pleasure. Let's put it that way. Yes. In either case, we have actually quite a few comments to get through. And so for our loyal listeners and our loyal readers, this is who you are. We're going to go ahead and move on to the mailbag section.
Yes, we're going to harass your asses. Be prepared.
The resurrection of the mailbag section, where we read and comment on your comments on the air and possibly humiliate you in the process. Our first piece of commentary comes from our faithful reader ASDF, who has graced our pages more than once in the past. He noted, and this is in response to the previous Anime Diet Radio episode, Oddland Sign, where we talked about the Tower of Juraga briefly. He says, The Tower of Juraga was actually a pretty enjoyable show. The first episode is an absolutely brilliant parody that should be seen by anyone, even if they don't intend to watch the rest of it. After that, it slows down for a couple of episodes while they introduce the characters and the real story, but then it picks up again once they start climbing the tower. It maintains a nice balance of action and comedy, but the ending might make one go
cold.
Another Gonzo show from 2008 that merits mention is Strike Witches. Not only was it another early experiment in simultaneous internet releases like Juraga, but it was Gonzo's biggest success in DVD sales since Vandred. Although even that may not be enough to save the studio. P.S. Kamen no Maid Guy was sorely underrated.
Well, you know, if panties and lollies aren't enough to save the studio, nothing will.
Yeah, I know. No kidding.
are you sure that it's... Are you sure it's not like, what the I'm not sure about your... Unless that's an inside joke from the show, which I haven't really watched.
I actually don't know, but Jeremy, I think your interpretation is plausible.
I think. Maybe we could have ASDF comment back and let us know.
Yes, please clarify that for us.
I think it's, you know, along the lines of the Christmas story, fudge. Except he didn't say fudge.
No. Yeah, he meant the other word. Yeah.
A four-letter word that you should say it to your teacher, your father, your mother, and definitely to Santa, if you still believe in that crap.
The thing is, I mean, I actually replied to that briefly underneath, you know, because, yeah, I agree that episode one of the Tower of Juraga was absolutely hilarious. It's one of the better parody episodes I've ever seen, and we even showed it in our anime club, and people loved it. So, and then after that, yeah, I just sort of got lost after the quote-unquote standard plot started kicking in. It seemed very standard, kind of typical for a RPG fantasy style kind of plot. And I never actually got into Strike Witches myself. Though I believe Ray, you've watched it all the way through, haven't you?
Uh-huh. I watched it legitimately, if I could get it legitimately in Asia, that is. Oh dear. Yes. I like the fact that it was a drama about a bunch of women who had to suffer the hardship of without long pants, and they had to stick their legs into those disgusting sticky mechas, which weren't very comfortable. And it's about the horrors of war. And of course that you have to be fighting your underwear. Showing how much lacking supply that they were.
Oh, is that the reason? Is that the reason?
just like real life.
Exactly. I like to meet the commander who decided that was the first.
Hey, I'm sorry, hero. Man. Like they were poor. They were Japanese. Remember Japanese in the end of at the end of World War II were really poor. That their swords were all made of metal. Like no copper, no brass, no ornamentation, all that.
I guess that makes sort of sense. I guess they would have no fabric left either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Remember, they wore sandals most all the time.
That's right. And so, but I mean, I was even told actually that Strike Witches has an actual story and like decent characterization.
Yeah,
it actually does.
Yes.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. Then you know. I think now, though, you do have the streaming is over because, yes, it was legitimately streamed on Crunchyroll when it was coming out a couple of seasons back. But now,
Crunchyroll. I'm going to call it a Japanese name, Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll. And so, yeah, the thing is that, that was actually a pretty good representation of certain kinds of fetishes. But at the same time, Gonzo definitely seemed to have a winner there. Okay. And so why don't we go ahead and move on to the next piece of mail from Steven 007. Ray, take it away.
Of course, I'm pointing the gun at the screen because I see 007. I'm like, oh, dear. The year ends and so as Kennedy and a lot more. NYC roundtable for this episode. Finally, some guys talking about Coronai. That was a really good one, and he liked the music play episode. He read the anime will be new released in 2009, but let's see. The world of Coronai isn't very interesting. Anyway, DMC rocks. Well, I watched it because of Ray's blog. Well, thank you very much, and you should be a DMC head any day in your life. And it might be the best comedy of the year, although he also likes Zero No Tsukaima. Let's see, Toradora and Kanagi were both surprising show for me, and Chaos Head was too, but he didn't like the ending. No second season of Gi-as, and we say it was one of the best back in 2009, so like season 2, guys.
Well, he meant 2006. I did mention, right. Yeah, that when we were talking about like the best, how 2006 was seemed to be a banner year for anime, and I mentioned the first season of Code Geass as being an example of good, or at least a very striking anime that came out in that year, alongside things like Haruhi and other shows of that sort. I mean, it was certainly very successful, and though I'm Steven 007, I have a confession to make. I've never actually seen the entire first season. So,
Oh, you have sinned against the anime god. Again! How many times must you be a sinner every day?
I just sin every day. I'm sorry, you know? I mean, I don't watch Naruto. I don't watch Bleach. I have never finished Death Note. And I guess I'm just not a very good fan. And so, you know, I have to make sacrifices
right, Jeremy,
every day.
It's time for you to do the Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
To which, Mike's comments, Steven responds, Nani? Shokudes! I can't believe you guys didn't even take a look at it. I mean, I'm sure you guys at least read or heard someone blogging about that and overrating it, or why Matt blogged each episode. Well, you guys probably were watching other stuff. I think season one is better than season two, though. Anyway, keep up the good work with your podcast. Hope there's another Hollywood news item, and it's very funny when you guys make fun of the actors.
Because they have such tremendous acting talent.
Yeah. Well, we enjoy making fun of the actors. I mean, it's the whole reason that the Hollywood scene props people up to that elevated level just so we can tear them down.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know, there's often lots of shows every season that actually look promising, but for some reason I never end up finishing. And I'm actually trying to start watching Code Geass again. I actually have the first 9 episodes on DVD because they're actually being released legitimately now. And you can Netflix it or you can buy it if you have the money, which I do not have at the moment.
The only guy among us that's being legit. We're all still on the ground and you're betraying us, man.
We're going to talk a little bit later, actually, about the legitimacy of anime later on in our roundtable section. But I actually do try to be increasingly, you know, if it's available. I want to take the legal means first. If it's
Available is the key word.
Right. Availability is very important. Thanks, Steven 007, because for replying.
Some very kind words you had for us there. We appreciate your comments and your suggestions and also your compliments.
Yes. And we want more of them, all of you out there listening who have never commented. So please, if you have a comment or a question or even just a flame, send it to us and just simply comment below the podcast episode entry that this appears on, and we will probably end up reading it and publicizing it over the air. And even if it is because you hate us, we know it's really true love, because there is only, after all, a fine line between love and hate.
Da-da-da, da-da-da.
Is like... And we are now going to go ahead and move on to our wacky news items.
Ta-da!
So, I've always wondered... Thank you, Krauser the Third. Because, as we know, that is one of the most favorite hobbies of Krauser, is the thing that we call, at least in the blogosphere, and spell R-A-E-P.
No, it's eating grape.
That's right. But in this case, we're only talking about a difference of one letter. You just simply add a G to the beginning, and what do you get? You get grape. And that's what's for sale, apparently. According to a company that I think is actually very appropriately named Minemasune. And they actually put out a press release, which all of us who subscribe to the Comic-Con press list, both me and Jeremy, received some time ago. This is actually not really a news item so much as actually a press release. And I think the headline says it all. Minemasune releases a new soda called Tentacle Grape. Yes, let me just say that again. Tentacle Grape. In case you misheard and leaped to an obvious conclusion that it might have been something.
Yes, yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. That would never happen. Not an anime. Not tentacle grape.
Yeah.
Would never happen.
Not in our podcast, you won't.
Yeah. I mean, after all, we tried to strive to be a family-friendly podcast, and we would never talk about something as unseemly as what you might have been thinking of. But in either case, this is apparently a new beverage, and the way the press release puts it is like this. This new beverage, inspired by the genre of adult Japanese animation called hentai,
what?
Is a perfect caffeine rush for gamers, cosplayers, and comic book fans.
Oh. My guess is although they do say that it tastes and feels good inside you, it probably tastes like crap.
Yeah,
but it's more of a gimmick.
Oh, did you say inside you? Oh God.
Right. This is apparently, according to the person who created it, a man named Decker Dreyer. Very interesting name. Obviously, I don't take the brand very seriously. We can't. The best I can do is develop products that I'd want to buy myself. And frankly, this is the right combination of ridiculous and delicious.
Yeah, and don't forget to grease your asshole.
But they also state that tentacle grape slides smoothly down your throat and you'll feel refreshed. Yeah. Refreshed. That's perfect, actually.
Yeah.
Refreshed and full. Oh, you feel so refreshed with tentacle grape.
Yeah. It gives you that nice warm feeling on the inside.
Yeah.
Oy.
Yes, it makes it nice and wet and sticky, too.
And apparently, the kind of juice that tentacle grape produces, it comes only in small quantities because each bottle is only 12 ounces.
Oh, you know, I'm sure a lot of anime girl characters are appreciating that fact.
Yeah.
Especially someone in the blue.
And it's like, it reminds me of, these are essentially precious bodily fluids that are being packed into a collector's edition label limited to the first 1,000 cases. And apparently it costs quite a pretty penny. Six packs costs $15.99 plus shipping. And best of all, and I guess it's probably too late for this, if you ordered Bolero before January 5th, you will get either a complimentary tentacle grape branded condom or bumper stickers.
Wow. So it's a condom or bumper stickers.
Yeah.
I wonder which one to stick on my car.
You see, I think there's actually a failure of marketing here, though. I mean, seriously, are the people who buy this soda the kind of people who would actually have a proper use for a condom?
No, they would probably just set in their drawer and be like, they'd pull it out and go, tentacle condom, tentacle grape condom. Put it away. And then play World of Warcraft.
I mean, imagine trying to pull that out when you're trying to set a mood. I mean, imagine that for a second.
How would that work, Mike?
Imagine the epic fail that would happen when, you know, the lights are low and the music is just right and the candles are on. And it's like, you know, but first, you know, I think I need a little protection. And then you see the label on that condom. I think that just ruins everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like saying I think it's kind of like saying I want to tentacle grape you, baby. I don't know. It just doesn't come off very good. But in a very, you know, nice cafe. After I take you out to a very nice cafe, then I want to tentacle grape you.
This will work cosplayers, okay? Like, you know, have hentai cosplayers. Hmm. This will be perfectly fine.
That is true. I remember interviewing a couple of guys at Anime Expo last year.
Dude,
who were they were dressed as tentacle monsters. They were from, I believe, nerdsociety.com. Yeah, and this would go along very well with their little act, I think. I mean,
it's another gimmick, albeit an interesting one, because we're actually talking about it.
Exactly, we're actually talking about it. And you know, when I first got this press release, I thought it was a joke. I seriously could not believe that this was actually real for at first. It's not a joke. It's real. Go to their website if you want. I mean, it's definitely real.
Websites can be jokes too.
Yeah.
So kids, run out right now. Get tentacle gripped.
That's right.
Everybody's doing it.
That's right.
Everybody's doing the tentacle. Have you seen a video clip on YouTube where like this white guy think he was getting real Asian girl's panties worn by an Asian girl, and no, it was some dude, fat dude.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah.
That you want to drink tentacle grape?
Yeah, no kidding. You don't know what goes into those liquids, man. You don't know. You don't know where it's from.
Yes. If one thing my mom ever taught me is never drink liquids you don't know where they come from. Wait, no. That was something else. Sorry.
Exactly. So, this is from Manema Sune, and I suppose if you're a gamer, a cosplayer, and a comic book fan, you just might be interested in this. I'm not endorsing the product exactly, but suppose you can check out their website.
Take it to your school. Give it to your teachers. Give it to your best friends. Take it to a football game. Pass out to the jocks. You will be severely loved.
Emphasis on severe. That's awesome.
You will, in fact, get graped. Why don't we go ahead and move on to the next news item? As you know, everything about me is about Evangelion. and the thing is, of course, you know, as you know, I am also Gendo Ikari. And
that's so last year, son.
Well, before last year ended, I was able to apparently do one more great act on behalf of the people of the world. That is, I authorized a snowboard to be made. That's right, an Evangelion snowboard has come out in Japan, and it's apparently called the Evangelion New Snow EVA 00, and it comes with a snow-compatible plug-wear Model 00 suit. And the thing is that, yes, there is, in fact, a story behind this snowboard. I gave a classified order to Salomon Snowboards to develop a snowboard and snowboard outfit for a snow trekking Evangelion. That's right. That's what I had up my sleeve. I was making a snow capable Evangelion. Because it's from me.
Can you imagine those fat cosplayers wearing that on a snowboard?
Yeah.
Guys? Cosplayers?
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think that, I don't know what happened in between my like original design and what actually came out of the factory, but dang. If you look at those plug suits that they're actually selling along with them, it's like a fat suit. I mean, it looks like chubby, man.
I don't know. I mean, for a snowboard outfit, I mean, it's what it is. It's outerwear. It's thick. It's cushy. I don't think it looks that bad, but I tell you what, it definitely is another shameless anime promotion product. Really, as far as snowboarding outfits go, it doesn't look that bad.
Hmm. I've actually never been snowboarding, so have any of you?
No, but I think Asuka will complain about this fat suit, like she did in that episode.
That's right. Except that was for the opposite of snowboarding. It was going into a volcano.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't snowboard. My wife does. So.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, yeah, this, of course, coming from me, you know you're going to have to pay a pretty heavy price to acquire any of these items. Each snowboard and each plug suit, not both together, but each, costs 73,500 yen. You'll have to give me $1,600 before you have the privilege of owning these items.
Are you sure that's each? Because the way I'm reading it, not to contradict you, Gendo Ikari Mike, but it says this snowboard and outfit... And outfit will cost Nerve and a potential buyer 73,500 yen, about $800
each.
Oh, each. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
You're absolutely correct. I didn't catch that little each.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
taxes included though, because I was feeling generous.
Well, because I was thinking for the snowboard and suit together. I mean, $800 wouldn't necessarily be terrible.
Really? Do you know how much they normally cost? Actually.
Snowboards are pretty expensive. They can be, depending on, you know, what type they are and whatnot. And the outerwear and stuff can be and, you know, expensive as well. I mean, just rough estimate. I mean, some of our listeners might know more, but, you know, a good set of outerwear is probably going to cost you about, you know, $300, you know, decent set. And then a snowboard, about the same.
Wow.
Just break down your door and use that as a snowboard. Can't cost that much.
I mean, I think what you're paying for the privilege for a snowboard that looks like an Eva. And the privilege of wearing a fat plug suit.
Yeah, the crazy Eva.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that Zero is the crazy one.
Oh, that's right. And it's actually in the yellow form, which was the one that went berserk. That's right.
Do you want to get on that board and it goes berserk and start kicking, punching in the face? Come on.
It should be noted that the plug suit is in Rei Ayanami's plug suit color scheme.
Do you want to put your girlfriend a fat Rei Ayanami suit?
I don't think there'd be too many girls wearing that, though. I could
Yeah.
be wrong,
Yeah.
but looks like it's probably more of a guy thing. And like I said, it really, as far as, you know, designs go for like snowboarding suits, I mean, that doesn't look that bad. But $800, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Oh man. In this economy, I wonder who has the money to splurge branded products.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you pre-order though, you re receive a metal owner's tag,
Ooh.
the Nerve insignia, and a
That's
serial
cool.
number. Wow! So they
That's
tag you.
my special gift to you.
You're the 560th loser that spent his entire life savings on a snowboard and suit when he actually has never been on the slopes. I think that's the disconnect, though. I mean, like, how many hardcore anime fans are also have the athletic prowess to get out and snowboard and the money to pay for this particular item? Because,
Wow.
like, are you seriously going to buy this and just hang it up in your closet?
Some will in Japan.
Maybe they'll hug it next to the snowboard with them when they go to bed. I don't know.
Wow. That's
Yeah.
hard. Things
Yeah.
hard.
Went to bed with a big, long, hard piece of wood. Rather difficult.
Yes.
It can be hard to roll over.
Now that I don't already have that in the morning, but I
Right.
bet you girls want to know that.
Yes, they do, Ray. Yes, they do. But so this little piece of marketing is yet Gainax once again, milking the cow. If you just happen to fall into that extremely small clientele of avid athletic snowboarder, rich, and humongous Eva otaku, then you can buy it. Total of 1600. With that, why don't we go ahead and move on to our final wacky news item from Japan.
Just because here at Anime Diet, we like to bring you a bunch of random crap from all over the blogosphere.
And we do mean crap.
And we do mean crap. We came across this new device that was developed by a Japanese scientist that just makes me want to say, yes, indeed, folks, it is toilets in space. Apparently, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, JAXA for short, has teamed up with engineers and the private sector to develop a next-generation space toilet, which they hope to complete in the next 5 years. Yay.
Yep.
According to this press release, sensors detect when the user relieves him or herself, automatically activating, yes, folks, a rear-mounted suction unit that draws the waste away from the body through tubes into a separate container.
Because after all, in space, no one can hear you poop.
Oh my God, is that a chip you're carrying on your shoulder or your poop box?
Thanks. Yes, in addition to washing and drying the wearer after each use, the next generation space toilet will incorporate features that eliminate unwanted sound and odor. It will
Sound.
play little sparkles. Tinkle, 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 tinkle. When you crap, when you poop.
Oh.
And birds chirping. Chirp, 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 chirp.
When you piss?
Yeah.
Yes. Because after all, it has to be gentle, you know?
Yeah, I just, I don't know what else to really say about this. Yeah.
So, how do you want a crapping space today, man?
I don't know about you. When I first saw the picture of the proposed toilet, the immediate first thought that popped into my head was, what is this, Space Ponsu? I mean...
Space Ponsu, nice.
Yeah, I mean... That, I mean, it almost kind of vaguely looks like that, except bigger and blockier and, well, automated, I guess.
No, it's the diaper that someone's grandfather wore.
Yeah, it also looks like a big diaper as well. And that's how it's been described as a space diaper.
And... Space adult diaper.
I guess, though, they developed it because, according to the news article that is found on Pink Tentacle, the current ISS toilet is a Russian-built, you know, the Russians, they build quality, Western-style commode that sucks waste away like a vacuum cleaner. Use of that toilet requires practice before heading to space, particularly because an improperly seated user has the potential to create a messy situation.
Oh. Do you want me to comment on that?
Go ahead, Ray.
No. Dude, oh my god, dude. I was like, no, don't talk about this stuff.
Yeah, well, let's just say anything that makes it to where astronauts have to deal with less crap, I'm all for.
That's right. And leave it to the Japanese to come up with a high-tech commode, you know, because we all know about the toilets, the automated toilets in Japan that do some cleaning for you as well. So, and I suppose this
is your tax dollars at work.
That's
going
right,
to yeah. someone else's. Do I want to say it?
I just think that you know, this has also could have multiple other uses. I think it could be very popular in other markets too, especially with gamers. Just imagine being able to play long runs of World of Warcraft and never having to get up to crap.
Long runs, indeed. And I could imagine, like, you know, maybe the guy who died in South Korea because he played too many games at the gaming cafe, you know, they could start installing those there at all the PC cafes so that gamers won't ever have to. And they could maybe even add an IV, like an IV yeah. station so that people don't have to get up from their seat in order to be fed.
I'm glad you didn't say that the suit hooks back up to them and they recycle their fluids, because that would just be...
There have actually been serious proposals to do just things just like that, though. Recycle your waste and purify it and then turn that back into drinking water.
Toilet to tap.
Do you want to have lunch? Do you want to have lunch now?
Well,
in either case, that's a pretty good way to close our news section.
Speaking of a bunch of crap.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be talking about our next roundtable discussion.
We're live to the roundtable. We dance where we're able. We do routines, we call a scene, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll.
The name... You know, like Napster initially, suggests piracy. It suggests...
Freedom!
Freedom to get all the anime crap that you want. For free, streaming, instantly, without even having to wait to download. Of course,
or like Robert Bruce getting the independence of Scotland.
Exactly. And the thing is that Crunchyroll, you know, has achieved quite a bit of notoriety. And in recent months, it seems, for some really odd reason, to the bafflement of the pro-industry folks at Anime News Network, they've been getting quite a lot of legitimate deals, starting with the historic simultaneous streaming and download of The Tower of Druaga by Gonzo in the summer, last summer, and going all the way forward now to, as of January 1st, 2009, Crunchyroll has gone completely legit. That means no more fan subs. No more user-submitted videos. Only authorized material and which you have to pay a subscription fee in order to see the high quality broadcast.
Hey, I want to go legit, man, but they blocked me out. The fuck? I'm American. You can't block me out. And the fact, because I'm American.
All right. And the thing is that we want to talk about in this roundtable section, we're not going to necessarily talk about the new season so much, but we want to talk about the legitimization of Crunchyroll and what that means for fandom, not just here. Because I think there, we need to talk about not only about fans here in the United States, but also fans overseas. Because apparently one of the things that has happened in the process of Crunchyroll going legit is that they have instituted region locking.
Man, they have turned into Sony and DVD and the Movies Association of America.
That's right. And as part of their effort to make sure that only certain people in certain parts of the world get it, was Ray was unable to actually be able to view anything on Crunchyroll from this point forward with the new
man year. When the brother wants to watch anime, the brother should be allowed to watch anime, man. It is definitely about race. I just got ripped off because I was one of the privileged people.
Yeah, I think one of the things, the problems with this is that, I mean, one of the big problems is this regioning has been one of the big issues that we've been complaining about anime for a long time. The fact is, you know, in Japan, you get to watch this stuff on TV. Right. Granted, you have to watch the commercials and all that stuff, but that's been a much of the argument that we've had. It's like, we just want to have the same opportunities that other people have in other countries to watch this kind of entertainment. And which it seemed like they were heading in somewhat of a right direction to provide, you know, the shows immediately after that they were aired, but now they're going to start basically creating the same sort of problem that was originally the issue to begin with, is that you've got the world divided up in regions where certain people can access it and other people can't.
Right. And in this particular case, yes, it's the North American fans who are benefiting here. But I think here's the funny thing. It seems to me that, yes, this is definitely, first of all, a step in the right direction. It is very much the sort of thing I would hope to have seen one day, where you could get a subscription service where you could watch all the anime you want as long as you pay a nominal fee every month. And Crunchyroll has basically instituted that. But here's the thing. As Ray's experience of trying to get onto Crunchyroll and failing from Taiwan attests, region locking is a serious problem. I don't think the studios quite realize that the demand for anime doesn't only just exist here in North America. Overseas. If you look on anime, English-speaking anime blogosphere, for instance, the majority of the heavy anime bloggers who are watching fan subs and reviewing them are not Americans. They're actually from places like Singapore and Malaysia and the Philippines, where all of them are all completely shut out of any of these, you know, otherwise wonderful opportunities to watch anime legally.
Oh, I know. This is an American thing. Only people in U.S. get all the benefits, and we don't get no benefits. You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, and I think that's a very legitimate complaint. It seems that, you know...
What if you were British? What if you're German? You're white.
That's right. And actually, no, the Europeans are shut out of this as well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a shame that they decided to go this way with it, because it really seems like they kind of are missing the point. I mean, it's good. I think what they're looking at, though, is they're saying, oh, well, we wanted to tap into this American market for a while, and that's what happened with the influx of distributors picking up anime here and redistributing it in the United States after it was aired and distributed in Japan. They found that that was faulty, and they couldn't make as much off of that because of the time in between to get it, like, you know, dubbed and whatnot. So this was another method that was stopping the subtitling from fan subbing from undermining that, which, you know, granted, they have somewhat of an argument there, but they need to hold up their end, and they started heading in the right direction, but looks like they kind of just screwed the pooch on this portion of it.
Right. And I mean, I think, you know, I understand their goal, and I think it's a goal that's actually, you know, I totally understand why they're reaching for it. They essentially want to make fan subs unnecessary. And while a step like this is definitely, again, a step in the right direction, and the fact that it only works for American and possibly Canadian fans is missing, you know, the rest of the world that also reads English.
That's because Canada is already United States anyway. You know that.
We don't blame it.
Yeah, we... And Canadian readers, you can send all hate mail to.
But, please.
Okay, yeah. But the thing is that fan subbing, just like the internet, is international now. In fact, a very large amount of the fan subbing that goes on doesn't even happen in America at all. It's been fan subbed by Chinese fans who understand the Chinese subtitles, like because the Chinese fan subs tend to come out earlier. And some English fan subs are actually translated from Chinese rather than Japanese. And you've got millions of people in places like Singapore and Malaysia and in the Philippines who are English readers who also want to get their fix of anime, and you're right. Completely leaving those people out of the equation. And so that really is only what was intended to be a whole step in the right direction only ends up really being a half step. And so
I wonder what their argument is. They basically are saying, from what I'm reading here, a letter sent out to people that had signed up for membership from Shinji, the PR guy. He says that about the geolocation restrictions, while we do try to get worldwide access when possible, copyright and licensing is complicated. Details about region restrictions are on the lineup page. Working on displaying more notices on the video page for this. We're also going back to our partners to try to get distribution rights in more countries. And, you know, granted, it may be something that's a little bit out of their hands, but I guess it is a big issue that they're going to need to really seriously address.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing, you know, that is kind of uncertain, or something at least I don't know about, is just, like, who is actually downloading these fan subs? Like, from what countries are most of these downloads coming from? I remember reading something that said that actually the majority of English fan subs are not downloaded by Americans. And partly because I think, first of all, the American fan base is actually very different from the Asian fan base in terms of the taste of the kinds of anime they're into. And so a lot of the shows are getting picked up, with the exception of Naruto Shippuden, are really things that would probably more appeal to the niche otaku audience overseas rather than necessarily your typical American anime fan. And yet, you know, a lot of these streaming solutions like Crunchyroll are still restricting themselves only to America, where potentially they're not going to make as much profit as a result.
They're restricting themselves to more mainstream titles, and I think that's going to hurt them in the end.
Well, they still think the United States is the richest and most problem-free country in the world.
Right. It's kind of odd in a way, because I do get the feeling that a lot of this was mandated by not only the licensing things, but probably also by the Japanese producers who are making a deal with Crunchyroll. And they still have this idea that, you know, we're Japan, but then there's the United States, and these are like the two big powers in the world.
And that's right. Doesn't count. The British pound doesn't worth anything.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the concerns might be, too, he just basically says that licensing is complicated. I think one of the things that they are concerned about is piracy in places like, you know, China and, I don't know, Ray, is that an issue in Taiwan, piracy?
Used to be, like, but when your economy gets better, when you earn more money, people are saying, oh, let's buy and collect this stuff. When people's economy gets better, they start collecting, dumbasses. And I'm not talking about you guys either.
Right.
I'm not talking about our co-hosts.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I'm talking about, like, the Japanese people that have the rights to it. Because it sounds like, really, in all fairness, that the people over at Crunchyroll would be glad to have. Because actually, it'd be in their best interest to have a worldwide audience. They would make more money. So I shouldn't see any reason why they wouldn't want to do that, but I think they're having problems with some of the Japanese rights owners that are saying, we don't necessarily want this to go to, like, you know, places where this can get downloaded and pirated to videos and then resold and stuff like that.
Yeah, sold as fake DVDs and such, right? Fake.
Well, here's what I'm saying. They are already doing that.
That's true. exactly. They really already are, as anyone who walks down the streets in China or in Hong Kong knows. You can buy pretty much every series ever made of anything for like a buck or two. And and the thing is that too, Crunchyroll actually not only used to be a very heavy anime site, they used to also be one of the very few places where you could watch a lot of Asian live-action dramas. I don't know if you guys were aware of that.
Yes, I was aware of that.
But that was one of the casualties with the taking down of all the fan subs as well. Though they've actually managed to sign one deal with, and so they have like maybe three or four Korean dramas that are up now. But that's still, you know, not anywhere close to what they used to have. And so now all the people who are interested in watching Asian dramas, which actually I assume are probably not Americans, more probably other Asians, you know, there's now no legal venue for that at the moment.
Unless you want to be found in Korea too.
Right.
I wonder if this ultimately, I mean, I hate to say it, because I really, honestly, if they're providing a good solution, and, you know, it's tough. I mean, we can't be totally nitpicking at everything. And one of my biggest issues, like I said, is the fact that Ray can't, you know, people in other countries can't get to it. Right. But also, too, the fact that, you know, I think people might be looking at, okay, yeah, I'm on board for helping out, you know, Crunchyroll and then getting, you know, episodes of, if I'm a fan of Naruto or something, just as it's released, and that would be great. So I'll pay the subscription fee because, you know, they have all this other cool stuff on there, and then suddenly now it's like, whoosh, they hack it all off. You know, I think I understand why they might have to do that to appease their partners to a certain extent, but at the same time, I think it is going to kind of shoot them in the foot, and they might be, as Mike stated earlier, become another, like, Napster gone legit that doesn't quite go over as well.
Right. Though, actually, I think, you know, ethically speaking, I think fans in the U.S. ought to try to support these efforts. Because it is still heading in the right direction. It is still a massive advance, actually, compared to what the MPAA might have done.
Right. But the point is, though, the average fan sub watcher, are they really going to do that?
Not only that, they may not even necessarily be American, and so they wouldn't even have the opportunity to do that. And that's what I think we're complaining about primarily is that, of course, you know, maybe it's a little too early to judge. You know, it's only been like this for about a week and a half. And who knows, they may actually get some Asian licensing deals eventually, and they'll open it up to more regions.
What I would like to see, I think, would be a good compromise is that they would be able to have fan subs of shows that have not yet been picked up for any kind of distribution in the U.S. And allow people to watch them up to that point. And when they get a deal to distribute it in the U.S., then they move it over and have that in maybe like their kind of free section to kind of entice people into watching it. And then, you know, they can move it to their paid section once they actually get the deal, you know, with the companies to that way the company's getting the money, their money, and then Crunchyroll's getting theirs, and you're getting introducing people to new shows and shows that won't necessarily get picked up, people still are able to watch.
Yeah. I mean, that would be more.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a lot more like the model of Anime Suki, in a way, where they're actually holding on to the old fan sub compact, which is that you're free to distribute until it's licensed. But I think, you know, of course, the problem with that is that technically all fan subbing is illegal. Technically.
Right.
And
but if they have an agreement with the companies, you know, if the companies would agree to that, I think it would be beneficial. Because what it would basically be like is, and maybe even have like a time when it's actually being able to be, you know, previewed, like, or a couple episodes when a show starts off, you know.
Right.
Just like you, so you're in Japan, you can watch it on TV, but now it'll like to continue to watch it, you know what I mean? Like, you have to pay for the service.
Well, actually, that's essentially what they've done with things like the Tower of Druaga and Strike Witches. There is no DVD release for that. And no one has actually technically licensed it in the traditional way. Here's the funny thing. You see, Crunchyroll is now essentially a licensor.
Yeah.
They are essentially the ones that are picking up shows.
They can't release DVDs. Because Gunso... Remember the comment we did earlier.
Right. And eventually this paves the way, for sure, for DVD releases in the future. But it seems that, you know, if essentially Crunchyroll is becoming a licensor of its own. They are the ones who are now picking up new shows and broadcasting them, you know, simultaneously. And in a way, I can understand why especially some of the anime companies are terrified by this. They have become real competition for them.
And, well, yeah. Well, I mean, but seriously, in all honesty, I mean, it's just like anything, you need to move with the times. And that's, if you're worried about that because you're not doing digital distribution, you need to roll with the times. I mean, that's what everything I think should be moving towards is quick distribution. I mean, freaking, I got, you know, files on demand in my house. I can get crap right when I want it. Yeah. I pay a premium for it, but I can get crap when I want it because the technology is there. I mean, it just should be done.
Exactly. And the thing is that, you know, we are looking forward to the day when our friends like Ray and all of our overseas friends from who read us will one day have that opportunity too to not have to necessarily to actually have the opportunity to do something legally and be able to actually give back to the industry. It's,
you know, before this gets sickening, before you, this is getting sickening sweet, let's just be perfectly honest with all of us, because here we're honest, right? Are you guys really gonna do that? Are you guys really gonna pay for this stuff?
I don't know if you have a fair, you know, fee, because when you consider like what you really should spend per month on entertainment, that's fair. Like, you know, if I pay like for my cable bill to watch cable TV, right? I know what I'm getting. I, you know, pay that amount and expect to get, you know, entertainment.
I get an anime channel with my cable subscription. Yeah, I go online and download fan subs. Want to know why?
Why?
Sure.
What do you mean? We've been talking about this all the whole time, right? Because I can get a fan sub, because fan sub is almost ASAP. Yeah. And if I watch something on cable TV, yes, it's paid anime, but it's last year. The play is back Haruhi again.
And that's why we're hoping that this would be a different sort of thing, because they are talking about releasing episodes like within 24 hours of its airing. And no fan sub group that I know of has been able to have that kind of turnaround.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying, like, with our, that's the current service they're going with. Is any of us going to pay for it?
Actually, I think I probably would, because the monthly subscription rate for Crunchyroll, for, you know, you can watch all the HD streams that you want, is only $8.50 a month or so. It's actually not too bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if they, especially if they continue to grow their content too, I mean, that could be.
And they seem to be doing that, actually. It's almost like, I keep getting all these press releases from them. It's like yet more shows being added. Like, Gonzo just added a whole bunch of their back catalog. Things like Kitty Grade and Last Exile and other stuff is now on there.
I just feel like I said, there's a couple things that they've made mistakes with. One is the this, you know, non-global availability. Yeah. That's a huge one. And the second is the transition that they're doing is a little too much of a shock to people. It's like, what? I can't go there and see like stuff that, you know, hasn't been picked up, you know, and I've been watching and following and whatnot, my J dramas, stuff like that, that, you know, that's a whole audience that, you know, they need to get some of that stuff on there, because, you know, that's a whole nother audience. So
yeah,
that's what it's kind of known for, is probably a big part of its popularity, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, to sum up, I think, you know, essentially, yeah, this is still a step in the right direction, but you guys need to go further. And all the licensors who are involved, you guys need to make sure that you include the rest of the world in your financial calculations and not just the United States. Do we have any parting comments on the topic before we just go ahead and wrap up?
No, I think I'm good. Yeah. I think I've said everything I need to say. And then some.
Ray?
I'm just sticking to my old way, so no.
All right. Anyway. Well, that pretty much concludes our roundtable discussion about the legalization of Crunchyroll, and that also concludes this, the 30th episode of Anime Diet Radio. I'm your host, Michael Huang.
And this is Raymond Hugh, and my biological clock is ticking.
This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach. Peace out.
Sign out, and goodbye.
Sayonara. Come on.